OYO on the radio, and it is Monday, November 16th, 2015. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the talent and the opportunity to do this show. Man, oh man, I had to add basketball in it, didn't I? Yeah, that means I got to talk about the Lakers' grief, but I got to talk about the crazy week in the NFL this week and the insane week in college football. Yeah, you know the routine. Nah, okay, well, I'm going to try to keep this short, but this will be painful. I got to talk about the Lakers early on, and you know it won't be pretty. Even though the Lakers did win last night, is that shout out worthy? I guess it is for the Lakers this year, who only won their for the second time this season, beating the Detroit Pistons 87-85. And Kobe Bryant had a decent day outside of shooting the basketball. He has been horrible shooting the basketball this season, but he had a decent night otherwise. Had 9 assists, 8 rebounds. He led him with 17 points, so he's tied with the lead with Jordan Clark. But the fact is that the Lakers are, again, 2-8. They are a shell of themselves. And, you know, in some ways, this team looks like they're superstars. It is a team that is, well, they're not the same right now. You look at them, and you cannot believe this is the Los Angeles Lakers. Just cannot believe it. Everything they have done lately has been absolutely awful. No other way of putting it. They have been terrible. And it all starts with one Jim Buss. Ever since he has started running the team officially started running the team, which was right after the 2011 season, the epitome of an awful franchise, none more than the hiring of Mike D'Antoni over Phil Jackson. I mean, that might be the worst of them all, but you just go down the line with moves that they have done. The getting rid of Derek Fisher, getting rid of Lamar Odom, getting rid of Paul Gasol. I mean, you can say, well, he was a free agent, but they never even really went after him at all. Didn't try, and he said he would stay if they improved the roster. They didn't try to improve the roster. Then you come up with the draft picks. I mean, holy mackerel. So, I mean, how much are they laughing in Philly right now? They got Jahlil Okafor. There's no question he's way better than D'Angelo Russell. So in a move that didn't make any sense because the Lakers hadn't had a big man in years, I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable how pathetic this organization has gotten. And you can't really say anything because Kobe Bryant, well, he's been bad. He has been really, really bad. He's not able to carry the team anymore. He's not even playing the position we know him to be playing. He's not playing guard position anymore. He's only averaging under 17 points a game, right under 17 points a game. But that's not the problem. The problem is he's shooting under 34% from the field. 34% from the field. That's unbelievable. Man, he's shooting under 25% from the three-point line. Under 25%. He can still shoot his free throws, but he is career lows across the board. He's only playing 30 minutes a game. It just doesn't look great. Ooh, it just looks bad. Now, again, yesterday they did get a victory. Kobe did play a lot of minutes. He played 36, but he still can't shoot the ball. Cannot put the ball in the basket. We're talking about Kobe Bean Bryant here. I understand he's 37, but my word, can't put the ball in the basket. That should be something that you would think would roll for the whole time. But that is the Laker grief that we're having right now. Now, being a Laker fan, it is brutal. Because you know how good this team could have been if this guy wasn't running the team. I mean, everyone, I don't know if people realize, but Isaiah Thomas, he said in an interview during a Laker broadcast, he expected to be a Laker the summer. He was a free agent, and they never, He even called him. He never called him. He expected to be a Laker. He said once he got the phone call, he expected to be a Laker. Laker, just like that. He's not a Laker. Then you come up. You have Jahlil Okafor. He's not a Laker. Laker. And people wonder why I'm frustrated. When talking about the Lakers, those are reasons right there. Those are two guys right there. There, if you get any other now, if you make the other moves that you did make with the Brandon Bass and the Lewis Williams, well, now you're actually a relevant team. You're not a relevant team right now because you got nothing in the front. But your starting lineup is arguably the worst in the league right now. Now they just don't have any talent. Enough about that. I need to talk about some football because it was a crazy week in the NFL this week. So let me get off of the Lakers. But I had to get some basketball in. And by the way, on Thursday, we will be talking college hoop because, hey, we will be having a civil war here. Well, no, I shouldn't use those type of terms. But, hey, Georgetown versus Maryland. They play on Tuesday. Yeah, we'll be talking about that on Thursday. They got to talk some college hoops. Also on Tuesday, you have Duke and Kentucky going against each other, Kansas and Michigan State. They'll be going up against each other. Big night in college hoops on Tuesday. We'll be talking about that on Thursday. We're going to get to more NBA. We know we got time. We'll be talking about that all winter. So, but anyway, got to go to the NFL. Ooh-wee. What in the world was going on in the NFL this week? I mean, man, that was crazy. I mean, that's the only thing I can even say about what was going on is that it was crazy. Week 10, well, it's that time, and it just got crazy. Let's go. Well, I was about to do the old Warner Wolf. Let's go to the videotape. Y'all know Warner Wolf was from around here long time ago, before Glenn Brenner on Channel 9 for the local people here. Anyway, I know he came back, but before Glenn Brenner, that was the old, real Warner Wolf. Anyway, the skin. They do all the stinks and never let them breathe. They just trounced them yesterday, 47-14. I don't know what to say. I'm being a Skins fan, not used to that. That, to say the least, Kirk Cousins, a perfect day. They quarterback rating-wise, right, not a perfect day. They, any otherwise, but, hey, he was dang near perfect, 20 of 25, 324 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was as good as it got. Got Alpha Morris, ran really well, ran for 92 yards, and Matt Jones, he ran well as well. He had 56 yards off of 11 carries, but it was a big screen and game for 78 yards. He had 3 catches, 131 yards. I'm not even talking about Chris Thompson making big gains as well. They made a lot of yards from their running backs. Max Cousins did not go to the wide receivers that often, and when he did, it was normally to Jamison Crowder, who caught his first touchdown pass of the year. The Skins just ran through the Saints. They're now 4-5, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is tied in the loss column with the number one team in the NFC East. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Anyway. Gotta go to Oakland. Ooh, it was brutal in Oaktown as the Minnesota Vikings flexed their muscles on them. Beat the Raiders 30-17. I don't know really what to say about this one. It was rough. It was really, what did I say? 17-20-14. They didn't get a field goal. What are we talking about here? It was brutal. Adrian Peterson got busy on him, but the game changed. The Raiders actually had the lead, 14-13, and they kicked the ball off, and Cordell Patterson went 93 yards for the kickoff return, and that just changed the game totally. The Raiders never got back in the end zone, and then you had the big run by Adrian Peterson, 80 yards for a touchdown. Adrian Peterson, 203 yards, 26 carries. He was getting busy. And the Viking defense, they just held the Raiders scoreless, which, you know, they've been prone to do. They don't come up and they usually don't have complete game. They have really good stretches of half, but they don't have – they usually don't stretch it out the games like that. That anyway, the Raiders, they fall below 500 now to 4-5, 2-3 on the at home. The Vikings now 7-2. They're on top of the NFC North. Whoa! What did you say? Yeah, they're on top of the NFC North because the Packers, they lost to the Lions. What? 18-16. Yeah, that broke a 24-game winning streak since 1991. You know that year when the Skins won the Super Bowl. Yeesh. Game that was filled with three and outs, had two missed extra points by Matt Prater. Aaron Rodgers throws for 333 yards, but he threw the ball 61 times. The Lions come up, make the plays they need to do in a crazy game where you know, if Prater makes his extra points, who knows what fires, but you still had a chance. The Packers had a chance to win when they go down, they score a touchdown, they miss the 2-point conversion, but then they get the onside kick. They have a 50 some odd yarder, and then it's blocked. The Packers just have been awful lately, and now they've lost three in a row. Now they're in trouble. They got to get their act together, being the Packers. What about in Philadelphia? Are you kidding me? That was boom, boom, bang. It looked like the Eagles were about to score 40, and the next thing you know, they didn't score again. Well, you're like, what happened? Happened. And I mean, they kicked a field goal. So, but they did nothing at the end of the day. The Dolphins come back down 16-3 at the end of the first quarter. They come back to win 20-19 in a brutal loss. Saw Sam Bradford get injured. They're really brutal, brutal loss by the Eagles. They now drop to 4-5, tied with the Skins. And remember, the Skins have one more division game than everybody, because remember, they got to play the Cowboys twice and the Giants. Once, I believe that's correct. But so you're looking at the Dolphins. They're also 4-5. Really quietly, they're trying to make this little push, see if they can get in the AFC playoff run here. Meanwhile, the Panthers, they're staying undefeated. Beat the Titans 27-10. Cam Newton is just Cam Newton. 21 of 26, 217 yards and a touchdown. He is getting it done. Jonathan Stewart ran for 91 yards and a touchdown. Greg Olsen had 80 receiving yards. The Panthers aren't pretty because they know they can lay down the defense and smack you down, and that's exactly what happened with the Titans. Got to give them credit. Got to give them credit. No one. Who had the Panthers being 9-0? And remember, they haven't lost since November of last year. They are on a roll. Okay, gotta talk about it. Don't want to, but gotta talk about the Patriots. They found a way to win it again. They were outplayed by the Giants. Outplayed, no doubt about it. Eli Manning was sick yesterday. Threw for 361 yards and two touchdowns. The early catch and touchdown by Odell Beckham, that was sick. Found a way. Found a way to get it done at the end. Tom Brady came up with I don't want to say pedestrian, but he had 334 yards. He had two touchdowns, had a pick, almost had two. If they could, who was it? I can't remember who drafted. Was it Halsey that had the no. Landon Collins, it was the rookie. Landon Collins had the touch had the game winning interception, but then hurt his elbow coming down and let go of the ball, and that changed everything. And that made the loss probably that much worse for him. And then Noskowski comes in, hits a 54-yarder to win it. Got to give him credit. Got to give the Patriots credit. They were on the rope. The Giants was about to take them out again, and they found a way to get the victory. They're a half a game up on the Skins and the Eagles in the NFC East. Boy, it was a good one last night in the ABC primetime game, but the Arizona Cardinals with Carson Palmer is no joke. They came up, won the game 39-32. Carson Palmer got 50. 363 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Come on, Larry Fitzgerald. He had 10 catches for 130 yards. Man, I've been telling people, hey, last year was about the Cardinals getting injured, mainly Carson Palmer getting injured. Now you got this team rolling. They're 7-2. How about 4-1 on the road? 6. What about Seattle? What in the world has happened here? 4-5. They're 2-2 at home. 2-2. When did the Seahawks lose at home? They now have 2 losses at home. Unbelievable. Well, the Seahawks, they're going to have to fight to make the playoffs here. You heard a bunch of 4-5. That's what's going to be happening. Hey, you got a big one tonight. The Texans and the Bengals. I know the Bengals are undefeated, and I know the Texans are 3-5, but they're both vying for first place in this game tonight. The Texans win, they're in first. Even if the Bengals lose, they're in first. They are comfortably ahead. In college football, oh my goodness, it was one of them years. It was one of them weeks where it was upset galore. I mean, my goodness. You turn on the TV, it was one upset to another upset to another upset. But it was, like I said on Thursday, the game I was waiting for. Man, oh man, I couldn't wait to see Oregon and Stanford, because I knew Oregon wanted to beat Stanford. But even though Oregon technically not playing for anything, boy, they went. They went right down to the last play of the game. As Stanford could not convert their 2-point conversion because their stout offensive line, they let a blitz come untouched, and Hogan didn't have enough time to throw it, and he was brilliant. Hogan was on Saturday, 28-37, 304 yards, 2 touchdowns. He did have a pick, but Vernon Adams. Boy, if they would have had him the whole season, how different would this year have been? He was only 10 of 12, but he was 10 of 12. 205 yards, 2 touchdowns. Hey, you got to give those dudes some credit. Big game by both Freeman and McCaffrey, even though I thought they used McCaffrey a little bit too much. Stanford, they were almost forcing the deal, but the deal came. Game 3, Stanford turnovers. In two of them in the fourth. Hey, you know Oregon is happy because of those games in 2012 and 2013 where it was Stanford who upset Oregon for when they were perfect. And it's funny, I think that's the underdog that won the last 3 times. There's been a double-digit line. McCaffrey did break Glenn Milburn's all-purpose record, and he's going to come close. Well, I don't know if he's going to come close to the all-purpose month or through the season, but that was one. Next thing you know, on the same time at Baylor, I don't even know if that's really an upset, but Oklahoma took them out. Hey, Baker Mayfield, I did not have him being a pro quarterback, but he's getting it done now. Now, 270 yards, 3 touchdowns, and an interception. Amin Kareem, boy, he is one of the best in the country. 166 yards and 2 touchdowns. Is anybody really being talked about? That's not, well, we'll talk about him in a little bit, but you really don't get a running back that's talked about outside the SEC too much. And Mr. Kareem, man, he gets it done a lot. Jared Steedham didn't have a bad day, 257 yards. He had two touchdowns. He also had interception. What about LSU? I've been saying this all year. I didn't even know how they were winning. Man, you got one dude. Just key on the one dude. Well, who is the second best team in the – nah, I ain't going to go there. But I'm just saying right now, the Razorbacks are getting it done. They just went into Death Valley and rolled on LSU 31-14. Then Alex Collins, he had 141 yards, scored two touchdowns. Now, hey, I keep on saying Brandon Allen has elevated his NFL spot. Didn't throw the ball too much this game, though. Did throw a touchdown pass, also threw a pick. And LSU, they couldn't get it going. Leonard Fournette only had 91 yards rushing, though. He had a halfway decent day, 19 carries, 91 yards, and a touchdown. Halfway decent day, not for him, but halfway decent day today. When they don't have the running game going, they're a totally different team. LSU, two consecutive losses. Now they done dropped out of the race. Meanwhile, Utah, they were trying to hang in. Arizona ended all that noise with them in a double overtime thriller as Arizona took them out 37-30 in double overtime. But got to give credit to Ansu Solomon. He is one of the real underrated quarterbacks in the country at 277 yards, two touchdowns, off a ramp, 86 yards, and another touchdown. Utah, I don't know how people don't talk about this kid, Devontae Booker. He touches the ball so much, and he does work with it. Had 34 carries, 145 yards, and a touchdown. But now Utah dropped out the race. Pac-12, they're officially out the race now since both Utah and Stanford. They now have two losses. Yeah, they get beat down because it's a great conference. Prince, dudes are good from top to bottom. Really good from top to bottom, not that SEC mess. We'll leave that alone for right now. Meanwhile, there was another one in the Pac-12. How about Washington State? I've been talking about them all year. Everybody keeps on acting like they're going to fall apart. No, not this team. Team Leach has them rolling. They go into Los Angeles and beat UCLA this time, 31-27. Gabe Marks caught a 21-yard touchdown pass. Luke fought for 3 seconds left. And, yo, got to give that team credit. Hey, one of the few games you're going to see a Mike Leach team where the other quarterback has more yards passing. Josh Rosen got busy for the Bruins. He threw for 340 yards. Luke Falk threw for 331 yards. Rosen didn't have an interception or a pick. Falk had two touchdowns, one interception. But, hey, UCLA, they come up there now 7-3. Just like Washington State. Washington State is 5-2 in the conference. Hey, everybody, the team is really good. I've been telling people this team isn't as bad as people think, but they're getting it done. They're getting it done in the Pac-10. And how about in South Florida? Ooh-wee, Temple took it on the head. Bad. South Florida rolled on them 44-23. Marlon Mack, 230 yards rushing, two touchdowns. Temple never could get it going offensively, but defensively, they couldn't stop them either. What about the close game, though? We had a rack of close ones on this weekend. Iowa barely got past Minnesota, 40-35. LaShawn Daniels Jr., man, he is going to be a beast. 195 yards and three touchdowns. Iowa still undefeated. Hello, everybody. They still have room to sneak up into that playoff, especially when you had a Big Ten championship game. And, well, you know how that rolls. Meanwhile, in the Big 12, boy, Oklahoma State, they never want to see They never want to go to Ames, Iowa in November. Remember 2011? Undefeated. And they were doing it again in 2015, undefeated. But this time they barely hung on won the game 35-31 with 14 points in the fourth quarter. J.W. Walsh, a big-time play that bring them through. Mason Rudolph, he threw for 327 yards himself. So then how about OSU, the only team with multiple 17-point deficits that they came back from? They are undefeated still, and you know all the Pac-12 knows it all ends right now. Hey, TCU and Oklahoma for the rest of the season, hey, they win that. Boy, they're saying, hey, we got to be in the playoff race and get it done. Michigan, how did they get in this tussle with Indiana? Barely got by them, 48-41. Rudolph was big time, 440 yards, 6 touchdowns. Now, what's about Jayrue Chaisson? Chaisson had 207 yards and 4 touchdown catches. He's like the fourth dude to do that in the last 5 seasons in the power. That's crazy. Indiana, the most underrated back in the country, in my opinion. Jordan Howard got busy again, 35 carries, 238 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Remember how good Michigan defense is. Just never really got it going there. And what about Houston? Who did they – were they on the ropes, lost their quarterback. Back Memphis was rolling. They were on the ropes. And what do you know – no happens. The crowd, I couldn't believe it. The crowd starts rocking. Kyle Postma starts to get it going. And, you know, he was a wide receiver just a month ago. He comes up. They start running the option. He throws a big-time touchdown pass. Remember, they were down 20 in the fourth quarter. They come all the way back, win it 35-34. They're still undefeated. Read it. As Memphis, I think the last second field goal attempt, and they stay perfect. Remember, they get that they can get that bid, that BCS bid. Do you know what that would do for University of Houston? Unbelievable. Well, the top four teams, well, they did what you pretty much would expect them to do. Clemson beat Syracuse, big game by Deshaun Watson, 360 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then he ran for 105 and a touchdown. Alabama rolled on Mississippi State 31-6. Derrick Henry had 204 yards, 2 touchdowns. Alabama 9 sacks. Ohio State rolled past Illinois 28-3. Ezekiel Elliott 181 yards, 2 touchdowns. Their big game coming up, Michigan State, and then Michigan. You know how big that's going to be this year. And then Notre Dame, they punished Wake Forest 28-7. Man, why is Adams' name bypassed to be here? But anyway, Adams had a 141 yard rushing. He had a 98 yard touchdown run longest in history. Josh Adams. Good grief, couldn't remember his name. Longest playing. Now, Notre Dame history, 98-yard touchdown run. Can you believe that? Anyway, Hampton came up, beat Cavanna State 42-3. David Wofford had 4 touchdown passes. Grambling whipped up on UAPB, 49-31. Jonathan Williams, he had 4 touchdown passes. Okay, remember, like I said, on Thursday, we're going to have me talking college hoops, especially talking about the Georgetown-Maryland game. Yeah, I know Georgetown lost to Radford this week. I'm not going to really go there. I did have to mention it. I cannot believe they lost to Radford in double overtime. Anyway, we will talk about it. We'll talk college hoop on Thursday as well as the preview for the coming week's games and football. So, toodaloo and bye-bye.